Today on the Trent Out Loud podcast,
Ziggy Marley and the Marley family produced this movie. This is their movie. They made a movie about their father. And I don't think that it's any of our business to tell them how they should be. What up? It's your boy Trent Out Loud, and I am back with another episode. Of course, I got a good show set up for you guys today. I got one lead story. We're going to be talking about Bob Marley. We got quick news, everyone's favorite quick news. And of course, we got a little bit of sports highlights. Y'all know what time it is. Put your headphones on. Put your earbuds in. Turn your devices up. I'm about to start this show. Let's go. The Bob Marley movie is officially in theaters. I went to see it last night with my mother. I actually took my mom out. I tried to get my sister and my dad, but they had other plans. But I went to see it with my mother, and I want to tell you guys what I thought of it. So overall, I thought it was a great, great movie. It started out a little bit rocky. I felt like the couple of scenes were a little bit rushed and the acting wasn't good. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's not going to be a good movie. But there was a time in the movie where there was a change. And then I feel like once that change happened, I think maybe the actors kind of just like got into their characters a little bit more. And then the movie took off from there. And it just kept climbing higher and higher and higher. And it was amazing. Like, I knew the end of the movie was coming and I didn't want it to end. I'm like, oh my gosh, please don't end. Please don't end. And I don't know if you guys have ever felt that feeling before, but I'm sure some of you must have. And I think when you have that feeling, that's when you know it's a good movie. If you're watching like a good series and you don't want it to end, that's when you know you're locked in. You get locked into the characters and it is really good. There were a lot of bad comments about this movie. A lot of Jamaicans were not happy that there weren't enough Jamaican actors in the movie. I'm going to get to that in a minute. I just want to tell you guys more about just my opinion of the movie. So like I was saying, it started out slow. It started out a little bit shaky, but then really just took off and never landed after that. It really ended on a high. My mom was crying. I got a little emotional at parts because I feel like Kingsley, who played Bob Marley, really showed the emotion of Bob Marley. And that's really one of the reasons why I wanted to give you guys this review today, is that I walked in to the movie, you know, growing up as a Jamaican kid. Both my parents are Jamaican. My dad was born in Kingston. My mom was born in Manchester, Mandeville, Jamaica. And she's from the country. My dad is from the city. So, of course, they both grew up listening and loving Bob Marley. And, of course, Bob Marley played in our house, you know, weekly. So, for me, as a child growing up from Jamaican parenting and hearing Bob Marley's music my entire life, I didn't feel like I knew enough about Bob Marley. So, for me, I was going there hoping to learn about Bob Marley. And I feel like the movie accomplished that. It did go back and forth to the present time in the movie. And again, without trying to give too much spoiler alerts, and I'm sure that most people know this by now, the premise of the movie is showing like a pivotal time in Bob Marley's life, at around, 1978, when there was civil war in Jamaica. And the movie even starts out by saying this was a pivotal time and it changed Bob's life forever. So right away, it shows you really a time in Bob Marley's life that changed. I won't talk about that because I know it's still new and I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But right away, that started out really good for me. Like most biopics, throughout the movie, it flashes back to Bob Marley as a kid, like as a baby, having a white father, a mother, growing up in the ghetto, growing up without any money. I wish I would have seen a little bit more cutbacks to when he was a child. The movie was only an hour and 45 minutes, but maybe that's just budget constraints. As you guys know, I have close to 10 years in acting and modeling and entertainment, so I know about budget constraints. So some people, one of the complaints is that the movie wasn't long enough, but depending on the financing they got, depending on who's making it, they might not have had the budget to do a 2 hour, 2.5 hour movie. So for me, yes, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of his childhood. But even I'll admit, even I didn't know that Bob Marley had a white father. I did learn about that when people started talking about the movie a couple of months ago. And it was actually a friend of mine, a white friend of mine. And he was like, yeah, you didn't know that Bob Marley's father was white. I had no clue. So getting back to the ultimate point that I want to make, or getting to the ultimate point that I want to make, is that, yes, you do learn about a very pivotal time in his life. And that resulted in him creating the biggest album that he has ever created, which is Exodus. So we find out what happened to him and why he created Exodus. By the way, Time Magazine said Exodus was the most important or most pivotal album of the 20th century. So that's why they wanted to highlight and show, you know, what happened to him, why he created that. So you understand that. You understand Bob Marley as a child, his father abandoning him, basically growing up without a father, growing up as a with a white father, not wanting him, feeling rejection. So I got to know about Bob Marley. But for me, the most important part is that I felt the emotion of Bob Marley. And for me, that was the pivotal part in the movie. Is I felt like the way that how Kingsley played Bob Marley, I felt the emotions that Bob Marley was going through during those times in his life. So it wasn't just an informational piece. And I did get information, but I felt like how Bob was feeling throughout those times. And that is what got people to cry in the movie, and that even got me emotional and got my eyes a little watery. We all know that Bob Marley passed away from cancer. I think it's a variation of cancer, miscellanea, something. I don't remember the name. But, you know, you get that part in the movie, too, of him, you know, dealing with cancer, dealing with the Civil War in Jamaica, dealing with being a musician, dealing with infidelity from him and his wife, which that is widely known, you know, having kids from different mothers. So again, not only do you get the information, but you get the emotion that he felt dealing with this stuff. And I was watching Ziggy Marley on CNN, and which we'll get into now, people's opinions on why he didn't hire a Jamaican to play his father. And he said on CNN that he felt like Kingsley tapped into the emotion of Bob Marley more than anybody else who they saw. And me, coming from an acting background, I can understand what he's saying. Sometimes you have to give up the, does he look like him? Does he talk like him? Does he walk like him? And go for the emotion if that's what you're going for. You're not filming a documentary. You're filming a movie. This is a movie about someone's life. And if they felt, if the family felt that Kingsley gave off the emotion, the emotional side of Bob Marley, then that's why they picked him. I'm going to get into the comments and some influencers from Jamaica and what they said. But if anything you're taking away from this review and you're wondering why they, you know, Kingsley is a British actor. He's not Jamaican. So he had to learn about the Jamaican culture. He had to learn about the accent, the dialect, the patois. And, you know, I'll talk about the patois for 1 second. Was it amazing? No. Was it horrible? No. There were some times that was really good. There were some times he sounded a little bit like Bob. But I saw some people saying that it was terrible. It's not terrible. And I hate that. There's nothing more I hate than a fake Jamaican accent. It drives me nuts. Like, I cannot take it. And that's one of the things that will tune me out of a movie. And that's one of the things that I was afraid of when going into this movie, is the accent. And I think in the beginning, where I told you the beginning of the movie that I didn't like, I don't know if they filmed it in chronological order, but I felt like the first 20 minutes, they weren't able to get into the feeling and the emotion of Bob. and the acting wasn't great because I think they were so concentrated on the patois, on the dialect, that he wasn't saying a lot of words. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not getting into the character. So if you ask me, I think maybe what happened during filming is that they were very focused on that in the beginning. And somebody was just like, you know what, forget about that. And let's get into some serious acting. And that's when I feel like the movie took a turn. And yeah, was the dialect and was the accent perfect? No. But then the movie kind of slowed down and got into Bob and got into the emotions of him and Rita. And there's a scene where they're just them two in their apartment and they're talking. And it's for the first time, that's when I felt like, oh my gosh, like I feel like I'm getting a window into Bob and Rita talking and having a conversation. And then that's for me when the character started developing. For me, when I watch series and when I watch movies, I'm very big into character development. And I loved that scene. And from that scene on, it took off. So listen, I mean, like, I don't have all the answers. And you know, like a movie like Ray, where Jamie Foxx was able to, you know, sing like Ray Charles, talk like Ray Charles, and act like Ray Charles, like, sure, that's a home run. Or maybe somebody like, you know, Denzel Washington playing Malcolm X. I you know, like, not all the time are the stars going to align. It is very, very difficult to find somebody with to play an accent, play a culture. And that's of course why people are saying you should have found a Jamaican. But if they couldn't find a Jamaican accent to get a Jamaican actor with the accent and the culture to evoke that emotion, then I like their idea with going emotion. For me, this is just my personal opinion. So that's my take on the movie. I really liked it. I really, really enjoyed it. I felt like it pulled on my heartstrings. I feel like I got a window into Bob Marley's life. Of course, I know the music. I've told you guys a couple of times, like, I DJ sometimes, you know, my New Year's Eve parties, just my own like family stuff. So I know every single Bob Marley song back to front. To see him creating that album was amazing. To see his thought process on why he wrote the songs and the words were always meaningful, but now for me, they're even more meaningful. So I got what I wanted out of it and more, because I wasn't expecting to get the emotional side of Bob Marley. So for me, it is a win. There's certain things that I would have done different, so I'm not going to say it's a 10 on 10, but I would give it a solid A. It's not an A plus. I'd give it an A or even like a B plus. Like, it's there, man. It's a good 8 on 10, 9 on 10. It's there. It's a good, good movie. I got what I wanted to get out of it. So now let me tell you the flip side of what some people are saying. Let's go to the comment section. Queen Dom said, I'm mad they didn't use one of his sons. And that is a good argument, because his sons do look like him. They do, you know, they are of Jamaican culture, but who knows if they can act? You know what I mean? Like, I would like, do you want to watch a movie and see, oh my gosh, this person looks exactly like Bob, but then they can't act and there's no emotion? Then they also said, I heard Ziggy Marley say there was 500 books written on Bob Marley. There's been tens of documentaries. Like, I don't think they wanted to get the information out, because the information is out. I think they wanted to evoke emotion. So anyways, somebody else wrote, I just left the cinema. I give it 100 on 100. _ Black Queen wrote, for the people criticizing his son and godson's choosing Kingsley to play the great Bob Marley, they even sent him there for 2 years to learn about the culture and how everything truly was. This man studied and learned the language. This is a blessing. We love Tisha 89 wrote, so the acting and patois was really good. See exactly what I said. Wasn't amazing, wasn't crazy, but it was really good. However, I wish they showed more of who Bob really was and everything. It focused a lot on him and Rita's relationship, Rastafarianism, and the violence in Jamaica back then. Regardless, I will support my people, Jamaica. Comedy Diva wrote, sorry they had to go all the way to Britain to get somebody with a terrible accent. Between Jamaica, Miami, and Brooklyn, they could have found a Jamaican actor to play this part, and Rita Molly's part as well. See, a lot of people are also mad that Rita wasn't actually a Jamaican woman. If it was for the culture of Jamaica, could have played the role of Bob Marley. He is a legendary Jamaican artist, and I wish they would have found somebody Jamaican to play him. Tamika Adams Love wrote, I absolutely support. However, one of my biggest pet peeves besides somebody chewing gum loudly is a fake Jamaican accent. I pray I could sit through this one because I heard it was amazing. So there you have it. A couple of mixed reactions. Some people said that they like it. Majority of the people are saying that they really don't like that the fact that it wasn't one of his sons or somebody Jamaican, like I was telling you. I'm going to now play you a big influencer called Pretty Dawn from Jamaica. And here is her ripping Ziggy Marley and the Marley family about this movie. Take a listen to this.
All right, Ziggy Marley, you are the epiphany of a fucking sellout. You come on TV and come say, for your own daddy, we are get a biopic. Uno so sold out, uno not even realize what the people them did say to uno. No, no, uno. Can't play on the father, even do on look like him. No, no, no. Why not even grandson will look just like him and the same height and the same. Uno, make them bamboozle blood, uno. And tell uno, say, uno cannot play on the father, and uno cannot reign. You, sir, did not go to Jamaica go look nobody to play that part. He's a fucking liar.
Okay, that is a 9 minute and 40 second post. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I just played you a couple of little highlights there. But hey, that's her opinion. Apparently, Jamaica is overall not happy with the Marley family. Don't feel like they do enough for the country, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, I wasn't born and raised in Jamaica. I don't live in Jamaica, so I don't know how it feels. All I could do is speak about somebody who comes from Jamaican parents. Neither of my parents minded that a Jamaican didn't play Bob Marley. Of course, they would have liked to. Of course, I would have liked to, but that's not going to get me to not support the movie or not say or judge the movie fairly. We would all like for, you know, the proper person to play the proper role. There's a lot of like gay roles not played by a gay person, or, you know, a disabled role not played by a disabled person. And whenever that happens, that community, the gay community or disabled community, they go crazy and they're like, we want proper representation. I totally get it. I totally understand it. However, I don't think that that's a reason not to support the movie and drag the family. That is their father. I'll say this in closing. Ziggy Marley and the Marley family produced this movie. This is their movie. They made a movie about their father. If they decided, for whatever reason, and according to Pretty Dawn, it's all you caved in, you let these other people influence you. Whatever their reason, that's their father. They didn't make a movie about Jamaica, about everybody, about a country. That you can give your two cents. You're making a movie. They made a movie about their father. They chose the investors. They chose the actors. They chose the direction of the movie that they felt best represented. Their family, their father. And I don't think that it's any of our business to tell them how they should be. Like I said, if they were making a movie about something that doesn't belong to them, like a country or reggae music, that's a different thing. You're making a movie about reggae music and you don't take a Jamaican artist to do that, totally get it. But you don't own Bob Marley. You know what I mean? That is their father. They have their right to do it however they want. So that's another reason why I don't feel like it's right for me or any of us to question. So I'm going to leave it on that note. I highly, highly recommend for you to go and check out this movie. Regardless if you like reggae music, if you're into Bob or whatever, like I said, it's a good movie. It's a good story piece. It really flows. It takes a little while to get going. But once it gets going, I'm telling you, you're going to wish that the movie was an extra 20 or 30 minutes. It's a love story. It's a hero story. It's a fighting story. It's a music story. And it encompasses the struggles of poverty, and it really focuses on children, a father and a child relationship, and what the lack of a father being in a child's life can do to a person, even as a little kid. And I don't want to spoil too much of it for you, but you really get to see the edge and or the chip on his shoulder that he has for his father abandoning him. So it's a family movie. And then you see how he treats his like, it's just a good all around movie. It touches on a lot of things. So I hope I did a good job of talking and reviewing it without spoiling it for you guys. And you go out and enjoy it and support Bob Marley. One love. All right, let's jump into quick news. Ring my bell. Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan are back together after a quick one-week breakup. This is the part that I hate about having an entertainment and pop culture podcast is reporting on things like this. I really need to get a female co-host to report on these relationship things. I feel super awkward. But yeah, listen, I reported on it last week. Marcus Jordan and Larsa Pippen unfollowed each other on Instagram. They both took their pictures of themselves off of their Instagram. And then they were spotted yesterday at a candy store buying roses. And apparently they're back together. So they had a little bit of a breakup, and I guess they're back together. That's the news. Let's go to the next story. With the release of Vultures, Kanye West is now the first independent artist in Spotify history to go number one. Lo, man, I gotta salute Kanye for that. That is a huge feat. As you guys know, weekly I've been talking to you about Kanye West. I've been tracking this album release. I wanted to see if Kanye West could come back from the bad graces of everybody that let him go, Adidas, Balenciaga, all his record labels. And I wanted to know if Kanye West can come back. And this is a sign of him coming back and being able to do it without these major companies backing him. Being an independent artist and doing it on his own, and him being the first artist to be number one on Spotify as an independent artist is huge. This is exactly what I said to you guys. If there is one artist that can go independent and don't need the backing of a record label, it is Kanye West. So salute to him. I know there's a lot of people in the music industry that have always contemplated, like, do we need the major labels anymore? Do we need the backing? Like I've explained to you guys every time I talk to you about Kanye and this whole independent route, if you're signed to a major record label and your album sells for $10, you might get $1 or $2. As an independent artist, you sell an album for $10, you probably get to keep $8 because the $2 is going to go towards your budget and your marketing. So he doesn't have to sell as many, but he just has to sell maybe 20 or 30% to make even more money than being on a major record label. And the fact that he is number one on Spotify being independent, I got to salute that. That's actually a really good job. And he has been in the news. He has people talking, and his album is buzzing. So, you know, that's what you need. And that's what Kanye is a master of. I'm going to go to a whole other topic about Kanye West and about him beefing, but I wanted to leave this segment and just give him his props for doing what he's doing. Kanye West, number one on Spotify, the first independent artist in Spotify history to go number one. All right, so talking about Kanye now, following up to Kanye, I don't know if this is his part of his marketing strategy, but Kanye West is now beefing with Taylor Swift fans, and Taylor Swift fans are trying to keep the album from hitting number one on Billboard. Listen to this. A Taylor Swift fan tweeted this: Swifty emergency. Beyonce's new single, Texas Hold'em, is challenging Kanye West for the number one spot on Billboard 100. Let's buy and stream Texas Hold'em by Beyonce to block him from the top spot. Remember, he just dragged Taylor on his latest Instagram stories, and she put like these emojis, like mean emojis. So we all know the history between Taylor Swift and Kanye West from when Kanye came up on the MTV stage and took the award out of her hand and said that Beyonce should have won Video of the Year. So for those who don't know, sorry, I know that might be confusing. That happened 10 years ago. Kanye and Taylor have always been at beef from 10 years ago. Beyonce had nothing to do with it. Kanye just did that on his own. Okay, back to present day now. So yes, the Swifties are trying to block Kanye's album from hitting number one on Billboard. Being number one on Spotify, like I just talked about last segment, that's one thing. Being number one on Apple is another thing. Those are streaming platforms. If he comes and lands at number one on Billboard Hot 100 as an independent artist, if I'm not mistaken, that might be the first sign that happens too, and that will be major. So the fact that these Swifties are attacking him is hilarious to me. But who knows? Like I said earlier, this is Kanye, man. This is Kanye doing his marketing. This is Kanye getting people talking. So not only did he repost that on his Instagram, he came off with a little bit of a rant. I'll read some of it to you. I don't know if I could get off the whole thing, but so he posted this and said, "When I said that I am the new Jesus, I'm not even talking about Taylor Swift." He said, "Last year was incredibly challenging for me, my wife, my children, and my friends. You guys, please leave me alone. I've been banned from hotels, kicked out of companies, and even not allowed to eat in some restaurants. Everybody saw Vultures 1 get taken off of platforms to limit my first week numbers. This reminds me of the mistreatment of my people because of the color of my skin." Kanye's always going to try to play the racist card. "Remember, I was on Taylor's side when Scooter brought her masters behind her back. She and Beyonce are big inspirations to all musicians. We always say how both sell out tours and movies. Also, I'm sure I've been far more helpful to Taylor Swift's career than harmful." See, he's referring to him getting up on stage, because when he got up on stage, everybody started hating him and everybody started supporting her because of that. So that's his reference there of saying he's been far more helpful towards Taylor than harmful. Anyways, he goes on to say, "To all Taylor Swift fans, I am not your enemy. I'm not your friend either, though." Laugh out loud. It's got to be Kanye. "I also didn't get kicked out of Super Bowl. We left our seats to go to YG's box and see different friends. I reported on that yesterday, by the way. I told you guys that that wasn't true. There's no way that that was true. My wife has never been to Super Bowl, so I wanted to walk around and have a nice time. We had such a fun day. And to Shaq, I grew up looking up to you. I would love to hang out with you and Jamie sometimes. Jamie Saltler is like a father figure to me. The media may control the narrative, but the people have spoken." So that's Kanye's rant. As you guys know, when Kanye rants, he's all over the place. I tried to make things make sense for people who didn't get it. But so that was a Kanye rant. Again, he just wants you to talk about him. So it's working. He's trying to get his album to number one. Let's see if he could make it onto the Billboard Top 100. Drake and Sexy Red finally drop a video for Rich Baby Daddy, and I'm in love with it. For those of you who are not watching on YouTube, you can go to my YouTube channel at Trent Out Loud. I'm going to be playing it right beside me right here. It's such a good video. Really smart. Again, like that's Drake using his mind. Like, he didn't spend a lot of money, low budget video, but super effective. For those of you who didn't see it, I'll try to describe it to you since you can't see it. It's him, SZA and Sexy Red kind of like in their apartment, and he's kind of playing like he's just like, you know, a broke dude in the hood with his baby mama, and you know, he's videotaping with his phone. It looks like it's shot like on an iPhone, and he's trying to fit in the car seat because she's pregnant. They're playing on the fact that Sexy Red is of course pregnant. I mean, well, she delivered now, but I think that's why they waited to drop the video, because in the video her water breaks and she's like, "Yo, my water broke And he's going around the house. Him and SZA go to the hospital. They're dancing in a hospital. It's just really fun. It looks like a home video of just a regular dude in the hood with his baby mama, his ghetto ass baby mama. And they're just there having fun videotaping their pregnancy and their childbirth. So I thought it was really well done. I've been waiting for a video for this song. It's one of my favorite songs on the album. But yeah, shout out to Drake. Shout out to SZA. SZA looks amazing, as she always does. SZA is my baby mama. I wish she was my baby mama. I love SZA, man. Anyway, so shout out to SZA. Shout out to Sexy Red. You guys know how much I love Sexy Red. You guys got to stop the Sexy Red hate. Sexy Red is amazing. She is herself. She is who she is. That's why the song works, you know? SZA is unapologetically who she is. She's a girl who's like insecure and timid, and she's all about mental health and just being on her own little journey. You know, Sexy Red is always like, yo, I'm ghetto, I'm hood, I'm trap. This is who I am. Love me or hate me, I don't care. And Drake is Drake, right? He's the best, you know, artist in the past 10, 15 years, always making the best hits, working with the best people. So the three of them together works. I was wondering how they were going to put all of that in a video. But again, I always love Drake's videos. He's always come in from an angle that you're never going to see coming. The J. Cole and Drake first person shooter, that was a huge budget video. That was amazing. And this one was equally as amazing, shot on an iPhone. I don't know if it was actually shot on an iPhone or shot on a camera just with a filter to look like an iPhone. That's probably what it was, but so good. So good. Like I said, if you're not watching this on YouTube right now, go to my YouTube channel at Trend Out Loud and watch it. It's really good. And in some sad news, there was a shooting at the Kansas City Super Bowl parade. There has been a close to 20 or 25 people injured, and one person has been pronounced dead at the scene. It was a radio personality in Kansas City. Her name was Lisa Lopez. She's passed away from her injuries. It's just really sad that somebody would do this at a parade, at a celebration in your own city. I know everyone is like, well, gun control and mass shootings and this and whatever. And I just can't figure out why somebody would want to do this. I just don't understand the mass shootings, man. Like, you are going and killing and hurting innocent people. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. I'll just never make sense, but I'll read the report to you guys. According to CNN, one person has died as a result of the shooting following the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade. Three individuals are said to be in critical condition, five are said to be in serious condition, and one person in hospital with non-threatening injuries. Multiple people were struck during the shooting. As of right now, police have not concluded whether or not the shooting was targeting the crowd at the event. Over 1 million people came out to celebrate the Chiefs' big win when the incident occurred. We will keep you up to date when more information releases. So there you have it. I mean, they don't know if it was targeted or if it was personally targeted. I think they're just, CNN is just reporting that to be safe. If you watch some of the videos out there, which I am not going to play any of them, but there's videos online, you're seeing there's one guy that was running away and he got tackled by a group of guys. There was other people that were tackled and, you know, I don't know, man. I hate talking about things like this. But anyways, there was three guys were arrested. I think two of them were apprehended by people in the crowd. The other one was by police. They're conducting an inquiry about it. So we'll get more information in the next coming days, but this does not look like a targeted shooting. I don't think anybody was actually just trying to shoot and kill Lisa Lopez from everything that I've seen and heard. I know they're not coming out and saying that. I think maybe they're just trying to deflect a little bit and just don't want to admit that it's yet another mass shooting in the United States of America. Like, this is just ridiculous to me. But man, I feel bad for, of course, the people who are injured and the family who's injured. But I also feel bad just for the entire city, the entire Kansas City population, man, all the people that live there, you know, like they go back to back, they win the Super Bowl, the whole town is just ready to come out, party. I remember when the Raptors won in Toronto, there was like 2.5 million people in the street. I was there from literally like 9 o'clock in the morning all the way till 6-7 o'clock in the afternoon. It's so fun to be out there on the street with everybody and have such a good time. It's a time where, like, you just kind of, like, strangers become your friends because you guys are all coming together for the greater good. You know, it's not necessarily like a football game. It's our city did something. The town did something. So you feel like, you normally when you're walking on the street, everyone is strangers. But for that day, everyone comes together and feels like they're one. And for something like this to happen during a time, oh man, I would be like, if those people are from Cincinnati, that's even crazier. From out of town, coming to do something like that, it's more understandable. But I'll never forget that Toronto parade. It was like everybody was brothers and sisters. Everybody was family for that day, and you came together for Toronto. It was even bigger in Toronto because it was like I've told you guys before, Toronto is like Canada's basketball team, because we only have one basketball team. So there's people from Montreal, there's people from Vancouver, from Calgary, Edmonton, all over that came together. And it was just so peaceful and loving. There was no fights. There was no nothing. Like, it was just such a chill day. I feel bad for Kansas City, man. I feel bad for the Chiefs. They are, you know, all the players are tweeting out on their Twitters, on their social medias, sorry. And, you know, they have to go from having this high to now having this stain. And if they win again, now it's, are they going to have another parade? And it's, you know, when you have people dying, like, it's not as fun anymore. So if they ever win again, it's like, do we have a parade? Who's going to come out to the parade? Who wants to come out to a parade thinking that they might get shot and killed? Anyways, man, it's disgusting what people want to do for absolutely no reason. You're going through a bad time. You want to go and hurt somebody else and somebody else's family, a complete stranger who you don't know. No, this is just crazy to me. Anyways, I'm going to stop ranting about this stuff. I think it is so stupid. But anyways, rest in peace. As Charlamagne says all the time, sending out healing energy to the families and to the city of Kansas City. All right, that brings us to question of the day. It is Thursday, which means I am going live on my Instagram at 8 p.m. So I'm not going to have a question of the day today because I have a bunch of questions of the days for my Instagram fam. Shout out to Sunny, Aya, and Mars, Cause too, who helps us get all the topics together. So we'll be going on my Instagram tonight to tackle all my questions of the day. I could read a couple of them out to you. And for those of you who don't catch it, live on Instagram, you know I will repurpose it and it will become an actual podcast. So you could see it. You'll be able to see it on YouTube and you'll be able to listen to it. I think we'll be putting it out by Friday. It will be episode 181. So there are 17 topics that we're going to try to tackle. I'll try to read them out to you right now quickly. Should Hollywood cast real Jamaicans in Jamaican roles? Do you pick up a man based on his salary? What's wrong with using what you got to make money? I guess that's a girl question. When does dating turn into stalking? If you date outside your race, is it a must to teach them how to whine? How do you feel about your partner dancing with other people? This is about the Usher example of Usher dancing up with Alicia Keys. Should your friends unfollow your exes? Ooh, I got a lot to say about that. I'm not even going to give you right now. You got to tune in tonight to hear my answer to that. But I got a lot to say about should your friends unfollow your exes. Do you have the skill to take care of yourself and your family? Can you cook? Do you have the basic things? Do you teach your children how to take care of themselves if they have kids? Do you think somebody making $50,000 a year should date? I already tackled this, I think, two podcasts ago. I think it was 176 or 177. That was my topic. They're putting it in tonight so we can all talk about it. Do you go 50-50 with your partner when taking care of your home and family? Is it possible to be in love with more than one person? Ooh, that's gonna get spicy. Do men love deranged girls? What the heck is that? Can a side piece become the wifey? All right, that's a lot of good topics to tackle. So like I said, tune in tonight, 8 p.m. on my IG Live. For those of you who miss it, I will repurpose it. It will be episode 181. Tune in. All right, this brings us to sports news. I have one sports update. Yesterday, I told you guys about the Warriors going after and attempting to try to trade LeBron James before the trade deadline. I was watching First Take today, and Stephen A. Smith confirmed it. He said that it is true that they actually did try to go out and get LeBron. I thought maybe it was just somebody like, you know, trying to troll online, because like I said, when I saw it yesterday, it was by the Bleacher Report, and it was just one person reporting it. I guess it just took a while for everybody to catch up. So the reason why I wanted to talk about it today, well, for one, to tell you guys I was right. But second of all, is that I think the reason why they put it out and they declined it was for LeBron James to let the Lakers know that people are after him and they might have to do something to keep him. So for all my NBA players out there, or for all my NBA heads that follow the NBA, you know that LeBron has an option this year, and Bronny is up for the draft. And then LeBron has 2 days after Bronny's draft for him to make a decision. So he has a 2-day window. So I think that it necessarily wasn't an actual, really a real attempt to trade. But I think maybe LeBron, because he's close to Steph and he's close to Draymond, and Rich Paul and LeBron have the same, LeBron and Draymond have the same agent in Rich Paul. I think this was like, hey, let's get this out there and maybe get Jeannie Buss and the Lakers a little bit kind of like, you know, a little shaken up, letting them know that, hey, there's teams out there that are actually going to try to trade for me. So you need to pick up Bronny and you need to give me everything that I need, because he doesn't necessarily need more money, but he needs a bigger supporting cast. Because, I mean, the Lakers, I think, are under 500 right now. So I don't know. I think that was a little bit of a strategic play, because like Stephen A. Smith, it was Charlamagne that was like, even though it was confirmed, he doesn't really believe it was a real attempt, because, and he makes sense. It wasn't like, oh, we want to trade for LeBron. It was, no, we want to trade for LeBron and this and that. Normally when you hear about a trade, you hear about all the pieces. You don't just trade for LeBron. What are the Warriors going to give up? What did the Warriors offer LA in return for LeBron? All you heard was, we want to trade for LeBron. So Charlamagne does have a point. Maybe Stephen A. Smith is in it with Rich Paul and Draymond and LeBron. Who knows what's going on? And if you don't believe me, then you don't know anything about sports. There's a lot of strategic things that athletes do to teams to make sure they A, get their money, or B, get what they want. And in LeBron's position, he's trying to get what he wants, and that is to play with his son. So I think it was, hey, let the Warriors put this out there. Let them know that we want to trade him. Let them know that we're interested. Draymond and Steph would want to play with him. And now the Lakers got to be like, hey, we have to take Bronny. So that's just my conspiracy theory. That part of it is just me and a little bit from, I stole a little bit from Charlamagne. But hey, let me know what you guys think about that. Do you believe that LeBron is actually making a strategic move, or do you think the Warriors were actually trying to pick up LeBron James? Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. It's your boy, Turn Out Loud. For more content, you could subscribe, download, or listen to the Trend Out Loud podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, or you could watch us on YouTube. Just search Trend Out Loud. For showtimes and updates, you could follow us on all social platforms at Trend Out Loud. Go to signupexpert.com/Trent. Once you sign up for all betting apps and get all your bonuses and get all your rewards, go to your app store and download BetStamp and use promo code TOL.